So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
What's up, deep divers? Thank you for joining me. My name is Adam Roa, and today's topic is death. I was invited to participate in a theater performance, improv exploration down here in Encinitas, and my contribution was a spoken word piece that I wrote specifically around the subject of death and change, because the two are synonymous. Yeah, there's a lot of people who have the greatest fear, which is when death happens, inevitably, well then, we cease to be. And I can understand how that's a very scary conversation. It's something that can be fear-inducing and cause someone to fear death, to really avoid it at all costs. And if you have that underlying fear of death, if you really truly believe that if you get hit by a bus right now, it's just over, game over, well then you're going to live your life a certain way. Not just in the physical risks, but also in your mental, spiritual, emotional risks. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And one thing that helped me when looking at this death cycle, the fear of death, was an understanding that, well, everything's energy, right? Everything is energy. And energy is neither created nor destroyed, which means that when I die, my energy continues on. When I die, my body will be buried into the earth and will be decomposed and will feed and nourish the bugs and the trees and the plants, minerals, all decomposing and re-entering into our planet in some way, shape, or form, feeding maggots. And even saying that, right, we have this like, oh, maggots, so gross. And yet they're a necessary part of the symbiosis that is life. But because of their attachment to death, we're like, oh, gross. And so if we understand that the energy of our body continues on, right? We become dirt, we become plants, and those plants feed animals, and those animals feed other animals, and then those animals die and decay and decompose back into the earth. Well, if we understand that cycle, then the question really becomes, well, does our soul, does our consciousness cease to exist? And this is where having some sort of spiritual belief in many ways would be a necessity to take on a belief like this. I'm doing my best to analyze and explain and explore from a kind of logical scientific perspective. And at a certain point, there becomes a choice, right? So we understand the energy continues on. And so now we look at the soul, the consciousness, and all the other parts of that cycle, right? So if we cycle from this human body into plants and bugs, and from plants and bugs into other animals, and from other animals into more animals, well, at each stage of that, I believe it all to have consciousness. There's a consciousness at those levels, different than human consciousness, but still consciousness. I've spoken at length on some of my Facebook Lives and things about plant consciousness and how there is evidence that they feel some sort of version of pain, that they are aware of what's going on in the community of other trees around them, communicating in some fashion. It's consciousness. So if consciousness is present at every level of this cycle, and energy is just flowing from one state into the next, that's where that faith comes in. Because now you have a choice. There's the choice to believe that consciousness simply ceases and stops, or that consciousness flows into the next stage of its cycle, the same way that your energy will flow into the way of its new cycle. And for me, having had a number of psychedelic medicine journeys, that whether it makes sense or not, I've had experiences that transcend time, that transcend time and space. I have communicated in ways that don't make logical sense with our understanding of how current physics and work. And that's why science is what we currently think we know, through an observable, objective method of measurement. But that's only one branch of science. And this particular branch of science that we have described basically as all of science is one that relies on objective measurement, third-party measurement. And what that does is that creates a system in which first-person observation is not considered science. It's thrown out. If it can't be repeated, it's not scientific. Which is interesting, because every single human being on this planet is unique. And there's nothing more powerful than a first-person experience. So my unique, most powerful experiences are not considered quote-unquote true, because they're not scientific. It's an interesting model that we've created. And so how much stock you want to put in that, I put a lot in up until a point. Basically, what I mean is I believe in science, and I also believe in the limitations of what science believes. I believe that science is giving us information about how our world works. And I believe that there is information about how our world works that lies outside the reach of science, or at least the science that we are most familiar with, and the science of what we currently know. It's just what we know now based on a particular type of observation. And so that question of faith comes into play when you have things that can't be proven by science, but have been very much experienced, not just by myself, but by so many other people. All those near-death experiences that people have, that are so similar? Well, I guess we can say, yeah, that's just, this thing happens, your body floods with DMT and you're in some kind of comatose state. Whatever, we can't fully explain it, but it's definitely not real. Well, what is real? What is real? When people talk about past lives, right? And think about, yeah, I had this life and this life, and this is how it's affecting me. It's easy to go, wow, you're crazy. You're a crazy person. There's no way that that could be true. You can't prove that. And then you could also look at, well, if it feels true to them and it is having an impact on their life, then it's just as true as anything else that you're going to prove with a science experiment. It's just as true to them. And that's what ultimately matters, because they could go through a process of healing past lives and have an effect on their current present life, the same as if they went to a doctor for psychotherapy. The modality in many ways doesn't matter, because what they're experiencing is real to them. With schizophrenics, when they hear voices, their brain reacts the exact same way as if you, as yours is right now hearing my voice. So what's to say that who they're hearing or what they're hearing isn't real? If you were just watching a scan of your brain right now and a scan of a schizophrenic's brain hearing voices, it looks the same. Which one's real? And so that question of faith I keep coming back to is, you have all the information you possibly can, and now there's that little gap. When it comes to, does your consciousness continue on beyond this body? There's a gap of what science can prove. Do you choose to go down the road of, my consciousness continues on, or the road of, my consciousness ceases to exist? One of those roads is called faith. Faith is just a choice. And I believe that faith is that choice that exists when you've reached the end of what's possible for you to know in a particular direction. Because there's also the people who jump down to another road, okay, and haven't searched for any information beyond maybe their first person experience. And then you can leap into what you think to be faith when there's mounting evidence that says, nope, it's actually this way. And like I said, I believe in science. I believe very much that we should take it all as far as we can, and that science is actually bringing the science and spiritual worlds closer together. The more we learn, the closer we recognize the connectedness of our universe. The study of epigenetics, right? How our environment is affecting our biology, our DNA. These are all concepts that have been spoken about in spiritual communities and spiritual texts for all time. And science is just now starting to prove that that's the case. I believe it'll continue to do so, because science is a way of observing the world, and the world is. Spirituality is a way of observing the world, and the world just is. And so now, let's, if you have that faith that consciousness continues on, that I do, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't have it prior to some plant medicine ceremony, specifically ayahuasca. I didn't have that belief that life continued on, or consciousness continued on. And after some experiences that just I could not explain logically, it didn't make any sense based on any sort of scientific understanding that I had, and yet they were undeniable. Literally confirmed by people who weren't even there. And this has happened multiple times to a number of different people, similar experiences. I believe that consciousness transcends time and space. Consciousness continues on. If my consciousness has been anywhere else other than this human body, then consciousness is not limited to this human body. If you've ever had the experience, an out-of-body experience, if you've ever had a near-death experience, if you ever had a plant medicine experience, if you've ever had a deep meditative experience, if you've ever had an experience where you just zoned out and went on some crazy daydream and you come back to your body like, whoa, I definitely wasn't here just now. Those are all touching on the feeling of consciousness being outside your body. And so then consciousness is not limited by your body. And when you die, consciousness will carry on. And so how attached we've grown to this human experience. How funny that we think that maybe the next stage couldn't possibly be better or even just different in a beautiful way where neither's better or worse. And so heaven and hell are invented, right? Heaven and hell are created as a way of encouraging people to act well on this planet, act in love. And in my opinion, just my opinion, I think that heaven is created in many ways, this idea to help people accept death because of how afraid we are of it. And the idea of hell is created to give us some control over our experience in the next life. Act according to whichever spiritual, or not even spiritual, whichever religious laws and doctrines, and you enter into heaven. You avoid hell. You have the control. And death, in many ways, is what gives our life beauty. Death amplifies beauty. Your food tastes so much more amazing when you know you only have a little bit of it left. Why do you think we love sunsets so much? It's that last little bit of light. There is so much to this life that we realistically could not appreciate fully if we didn't know that it would come to an end at some point. And yet here we are so focused on trying to extend and maximize this life as a human in a way that is often paralyzing. How many people do you know that are so afraid to take chances in their life? We're so afraid of other human beings, who are so afraid of failure, who are so afraid of X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. And really what they're afraid of is an ego death. That's what that is. It's a fear of learning. A fear of learning. Because when I try something and I quote unquote fail, what has happened? A piece of me has died. The part of me that thought I could succeed at that. The part of me that thought I knew what I was doing in that scenario. The part of me that saw the outcome. And that part of me is now undeniably had to die. That part of my ego falls away. And that's often a really scary, painful experience. But just like the meta exploration of consciousness and energy continuing on, when a piece of your ego dies, something new emerges. Something that previously was held within the shell of that ego. Every time you learn something new, you expand. And that expansion most often is accompanied by the death of how you previously saw the world. Like I said, prior to my first ayahuasca ceremony, I didn't believe in any of the things that I'm telling you right now. And in what, in many ways, was a painful experience, and continues to be in many ways, I am regularly releasing pieces of my ego, of how I see the world, how I perceive the world, how I think this world works, as I receive new information, as I experience new experiences. And so the fear of an ego death is the fear of growth itself. And why are we so attached to our egos and our constructs of how we see the world, when just in practical, logical analysis, we can understand that being attached to how we see the world, being attached to that construct, by its very nature means we are limited. We are limiting our reality because we in no way could ever know all there is to know. And so being attached to the way we see things means we are limiting our reality to what we think we know. At any given point, we may know what? Like 0.5% of even just life on Earth? 0.5% of how that works? Maybe? The exploration of consciousness, there's a war on consciousness. There's a war on consciousness. That's why plant medicines are illegal. They don't want you exploring that. They want you buying into the construct as currently designed in order to keep it going so that it can continue to benefit a few. And so my exploration for you, my invitation for you, is what is possible for you when you embrace the death of your ego? What is possible for you when you recognize that death simply means change? Change from human to whatever's next. Change from human body into dirt and plants and trees and animals. Change from an idea of how the world is to a new idea of how the world is. It's simply change, it's evolution, it's growth, it is expansion. And so I invite you to look at the ways in which you are resisting those little ego deaths in your own life. I invite you to look at the ways in which you are fearful of being wrong about how you see the world. And instead, flip that around. Flip it on its head and invite in death. Invite in change. Invite in the opportunity for you to evolve from the caterpillar into the butterfly. And from the butterfly into whatever's next. Life and death cannot be separated. Life and change cannot be separated. Death and change are one and the same. And so you have the opportunity to embrace death every single moment of every single day. And in so doing, you create the opportunity for yourself to develop into the most magnificent, the most well-versed, the most holistic, the most uniquely human being that you can possibly be. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you taking this journey, this deep dive into death with me. As always, remember that you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.